show. Now holla if you hear me though. It's the Rich Keefe Show. Here we go, you're now rocking with the Rich Keefe Show on your radio. You're about to hear the chronicles from a topical, comical, and knowledgeable Boston sports talker, dropping it hotter than a tropical climate. Breaking news, he supplies it, and you want the truth? Scoops Keefe will find it. Scoops. He's talking about all the sports, and he's also a hashtag dork. And the father of two sweet daughters, the leader of your squad for you evening marauders and night commuters. Tune in and sit tight, 6 to 10, more like 6 to midnight, ow. The mic's hot on the Night's Watch crew. Celtics, Bruins, Pats, and Red Sox too. Doing this since the Rich Keefe Project. Now he's got podcasts and Twitch stream content. KWFE on WEEI. It's the Rich Keefe Show, so here's your guy.
All right, welcome into a snowy Monday night edition of the Rich Keefe Show. Fitzy alongside, and it's a full tang Fitzy, so you know what that means. From grip to tip, Fitzy, how are you, good sir?
Grip to tip, baby. What a weekend of thoroughly mediocre championship caliber football we just witnessed.
Oh, how dare you. That was a divisional round for the ages, Fitzy. We got four games. One, two, three, four games.
Four.
What was your biggest takeaway from the weekend?
Red Sox fans hate the ownership.
Yeah, that was a pretty big story, which we for sure will discuss. In fact, we were on the air Friday night, Fitzy, when it happened, and we're looking at the tweets. Actually, our guy Coop was the one putting out videos of it, and he joined us on the show. He's like, "Yeah, that was as uncomfortable as you could have imagined." So we will get to the Red Sox Twitter weekend, where front office was able to, as Marv Albert would say, hear it from the crowd just a little bit. But the football matches, you had two on Saturday, you had two on Sunday. Yep. You know what jumped out to me, in all honesty?
How underrated the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow are.
Yeah, at least they were. Maybe that's one of them.
Excuse me, I apologize.
Yeah, they certainly aren't anymore. One is just about the quarterbacks and how I think there's going to be this long stranglehold. It was a concept I came up with last year, believe it or not, and it rang true this year. But just as sort of a lot of attention's on the Bills because they're in the division. It's the team the Patriots are chasing. What a missed opportunity to not trade for Christian McCaffrey. That was right there for him. Can you imagine if you put McCaffrey, you just give Josh Allen one more playmaker alongside Steph Diggs? Because I think the rest of his group got kind of exposed. Those guys aren't really up to snuff. They don't have a running game. Nope. Gabe Davis, every once in a while he'll have a big catch, sure, and he did again in that game. But if they could have added a guy like McCaffrey who was available, I think that maybe would have put them over the top. Instead, for the second straight year, the Buffalo Bills, with all this hype and all this Josh Allen MVP hysteria, are going to be watching the conference championship between Burrow and Mahomes.
We're now getting to a point, Rich, where you can almost set your clock or calendar by Dallas and Buffalo getting bumped in heartbreaking, dare I say, excruciating fashion.
Yeah, that's true.
Depending on whether you love a last minute bed crapping, if you will, Dallas style, or if you just love a soul crusher up in Buffalo.
Yep.
I mean, what they could have been if they had traded for a Christian McCaffrey, adding another dimension to that offense, which was plenty potent, but ended up becoming so one dimensional with Josh Allen playing just nonstop repetitive hero ball, became rather easy to defend for a quality Bengals defense, but I don't think anybody would mention them as among the top five in the league at this point. But they looked utterly as dominant on that side of the ball yesterday as they did on offense. And I think it also exposed an element of the Buffalo Bills. Like, you play in, I would say, most overtly a winter area. Like, the climate of Buffalo is that you're likely going to get snow once or several times during the season. They're not a cold weather team.
They don't seem to be, even though Josh Allen can throw the ball through ice, rain, snow, or sleet. He's fine there. But it's when you can't run the ball, or you don't run the ball, or whatever, pick whatever, however you want to describe it, then, you don't really use that to an advantage. Like, they were probably the team, and we'll get to this neutral site idea. Now, that's out the window, at least for this year. But that was, I bet Buffalo probably wanted to play in a dome. I bet they were, like, hoping to do that. Because Kansas City, I think, is even a little bit more prepared. Cincinnati can do it. And so, you're going to get, for the second straight year, Chiefs and Bengals. The Jaguars and the Giants were clearly playing with house money. Jags made it a game. Giants did not. And then you have the Dallas Cowboys, where I just, the chances of Dak Prescott playing two really, really good playoff games in a row, I felt like were not, it was impossible. It was not going to happen.
It's like you or me, yeah, like approaching a weekend, like, well, that was a really mirthful week. I'm going to not drink Friday and Saturday. Uh-huh. Like, no, you're not. No,
that's
stop that.
Silly.
Like, I'll eat no pizza all week. Sure.
I did all of those things. I had pizza this weekend, deep dish style.
So did I, which is why I can't wear my wedding ring today.
Swell the old fingies. Got sausage fingers now.
I got
thanks
the
to the
divisional
old pizza.
Round, yeah, swole on right now.
Oh my God! Would you eat so much pizza and then you're just so thirsty for like the rest of the night? And instead of drinking water, you're drinking beer like an idiot. You're just like, this is not productive at all.
No,
I wouldn't feel
it. Chili, you know, chili dips and you know, yeah, ballpark pretzels and
just
pizza
the
and
pits,
just Narragansetts all weekend long. Mm-hmm. So many good decisions, but that's the way you're supposed to divisional round weekend.
That's right.
Because that's the best weekend of football, and now we have but 2 days of NFL football left. Three games next Sunday, Champ Sunday, as
that's
we like
it
to call it. That was my nickname in high school.
Champ old, Sunday,
old
they called
Champ,
them.
No, it wasn't. I wish, wish it was.
There he goes.
Cool name.
Yeah, that is pretty
here goes
sweet.
Old Champ Sunday. And we got 1 day. We got 1 day left with multiple football games.
What about the Pro Bowl? You know, you excited about the skills challenge? I think they're playing Monopoly one day. They're shoots and ladders the next. Laser tag. You in on that? That get you going a little
they
bit?
They have the trampoline contest.
Yeah. They do little flippies.
Here comes Justin Herbert versus Kirk Cousins in mini golf.
Somebody the other day was tweeting out when they used to actually do like real skills competitions, and it was Daryl Green versus like Rod Woodson in an actual sprint. You're mm-hmm. like, these guys would never, ever do something like that again. Because if you could line up like Tyreek Hill and mm-hmm. Jalen Waddle, just happen to be teammates, but if you could like put them and have them like really run a 40-yard dash, that'd be great
they
TV.
It would. That. They did something sort of like that last year when they had like the skills challenge where they were like throwing the footballs through like, I remember Mac Jones was throwing some footballs to Steph Diggs. Steph Diggs wasn't showing him up at the time after the throws.
Steph Diggs had a real sad yesterday.
Had a major case of the mads and the sads yesterday.
Poor guy. But
they did a little something like that. And then like Micah Parsons was in a 40-yard dash against Tyreek Hill. And
but they weren't
Micah
like
wanted
really
to go
going.
For it. But Tyreek Hill was like, I'm not doing this.
That's like, what I'm saying. Like they're too afraid. Like a real skills competition. And not to go down this whole road here, but that would... People would be into it.
I packed a bag. I'm ready to go.
Battle of the Network Stars, Fitzy. That's
one of
a show.
The greatest shows of all time.
I can wrap my head around. Yes.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding? Tug of War? And
oh,
like,
my
you know,
God.
Like,
the cast here's... of Modern Family versus CSI New York. Here they go. That's what I want to see.
Here's Jack Lambert and, you know, Merlin Olsen wrestling a shark.
Like, wow, look at these guys. They're into it. Yeah, no, instead you're just going to get whatever they're coming up with on the Pro Bowl. They're running all these ads for it. I'm like, that's not helping. The ads aren't helping.
Look at they're going to play, you know, Nintendo Switch Sports.
Yeah.
Ooh, yay.
They're going to play Kynect 4. Like, all right, let's
giant,
have some of that.
Oh, wow, look at this. Wow, it's Christian McCaffrey against, you know, freaking Saquon Barkley and giant Jenga. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Back to Bengals Bills. More impressed by the Bengals or more, like, disappointed in what you saw out of the Bills?
Oh, it's got to be the Bills. I mean, I thought the Bengals were capable of playing that way. And, you know, if Joe Burrow, if Paige Spiranak doesn't already, you know, take him away.
Wait,
saw the video she posted.
Is Joe Burrow with Paige Spiranak?
You should watch the video she posted today.
Is this breaking news? We have breaking news, Saturday? Is this real?
They're
or
together
are you...
yet, but okay. Holy smokes. She put the world on blast. She marked her territory on social media today.
I would stand down. I would stand down if I was anybody else.
But put your firearms down now, sir.
All right, walk away. So is she going like Brady's quote-unquote girlfriend where she's just like pretending it into existence on the internet? Is she doing the same thing?
I think so. I think she's completely like, listen, I love you and you love me. Joe, we're together, aren't we?
Shoot or shoot.
Hey, listen, you got to take your shot, man.
Is Joe Burrow in a relationship? 617-779-7937.
Are you currently in an emotional relationship with Joe Burrow?
According to the New York Post, he does have a girlfriend, and her name is Olivia Holschmacher.
That's for now.
For now.
That's for now.
She's on notice, is what you're saying.
She has been put on burn notice.
Why? What did she say? What did Paige say? Was it very aggressive in nature?
She did a video on signs you know Joe Burrow has stolen your girl.
Oh boy!
And did a bunch of like
top 10 list,
like a bunch of Joe Burrow burns, and like it's. I mean, like for God's sakes, I'm. Anyway, yeah.
Wow,
maybe we can
little,
endeavor to capture
a little
the
hot
audio.
Thinking about it. All right. Well,
yeah, I know.
I'll take a look.
As impressive as Joe Burrow is, and you know, I believed him and the Cincinnati Bengals offense capable of the performance they put on yesterday.
Yeah,
I just
for sure.
wasn't quite sure they would do it with everything Buffalo had going for them and or at stake in that particular emotional and inclement environment. I never, ever, ever thought that Buffalo would both allow themselves to be held to 10 points and only be able to generate 10 points.
That's
like
it.
That was such a pathetic effort by them. It looks like they didn't prepare at all. And when they got a punch in the mouth early,
yeah.
they cowered. They absolutely cowered.
100%. And then like some of those drives that the Bengals had where it was like just missed tackles or like you had Joe Mixon for a yard. Oh, no, 8 yards. Or here's mm-hmm. Jamar Chase. So here's a little quick out. Oh, that's another 9 yards. They had no answer. Because I'm with you. The Bengals offense, I love. Everybody loves. You should love. Like, Jamar Chase uh-huh. is healthy. Guy's a stud. T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, best third receiver since, I don't know, Ozzie
Great
Hakeem.
Show on turf, maybe?
Yeah, probably since Ozzie Hakeem. But they, that offense, I thought, was going to be able to score because the Bills didn't look right the last 2 weeks. Skylar Thompson plays them to within 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
Mac Jones and the Patriots played them competitively. You're like, mm-hmm. it's just something. That, like, again, they needed the kick return touchdowns. So I thought going all the way back to 3 weeks ago, I thought they might sort of take the DeMar Hamlin situation and kind of use that and just blow everybody out. Mm-hmm. But it really, that's obviously not the case. And you sort of saw it coming. Like when they lost to the, or it felt like a loss, when they beat the Dolphins and then we were going through it, you and I both said Cincinnati was going to win outright. But we both mm-hmm. thought it was going to be a closer game and maybe another shootout. But the
yes.
fact that Josh Allen and that offense wasn't prepared for a shootout is wild. And I don't know how much of that is Ken Dorsey, you know, going from Brian Daboll to Ken mm-hmm. Dorsey, or if just, you know, once again, if you're putting everything on the quarterback, I don't know if any team puts everything on the quarterback like Buffalo does with Josh Allen. Maybe Baltimore and Lamar Jackson.
That's actually a very apt comp because Josh Allen is the passing attack. Josh Allen is your emotional leader. Josh Allen is your leading running back. Like, he just looked gassed. He
yeah.
looked like he did, like, you've already read stories now about he's got to go on this sort of rest program for several months with his elbow because it's kind of, you know, torched at this point. But they still should have been able to get into a high-scoring affair. Like, if you told me final score, it's going to be 31-27, who do you think is going to win? I would say I think the Bengals because I just don't trust the Buffalo defense. In no way, shape, or form did I see a double-digit victory that felt like it could have been over 20-some-odd points for the Bengals. It was just a really sad effort. And, like,
yeah.
with 12 minutes left, Rich, like, Bills Mafia,
oh,
the fan
sad.
Base,
no,
they're, you know,
no.
did we win riding the wave? The stadium was empty.
Yeah,
I mean, like,
crazy.
Burrow is the ice king, man. Like, he just comes in.
He is.
They should have known.
He's the coolest dude.
He
is the coolest guy in the world.
Oh, my God. When he did that little, and it was captured on socials, and it went hyper viral in a matter of moments.
Yeah.
When he did that 40-yard twisting throw from the end zone.
Oh, in slow-mo. Oh, my God. I watched that so many times.
And it was a dime.
Yeah,
it was a flipping dime.
That reminds me of Steph Curry shooting like a half-court shot and like turning around before it goes in and then having it go in. That was sort of the same thing what Joe Burrow did. Who is mm-hmm. the coolest guy in the world? Everybody's making the comparisons to Tom Brady, but I would say, what about Steve McQueen? Anyway.
Can he escape a German prison while ripping a dart?
I like to think so.
Dropping dimes.
I like to think so. So the weekend on the table for you. I know it's a snowy night out there, so drive safely. 617-779-7937. You can also text into the show, 37937, although don't do that while you're driving.
Please.
And you can always follow the program on Twitter and Instagram, at Rich Keefe Show. We'll get into some of the winners and losers. And I don't just mean the teams. We know who that was, but some of the other specific players, coaches, maybe even strategies from the divisional weekend. We'll get into that. It's the Rich Keefe Show with Fitzy here tonight. Full program, 6 to 10 right now. Here's Ben Charleston with What's Trending.
This is the Rich Keefe Show on WEEI. WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Second and 3. Burrow. Facing pressure. Goes over the top. Wide open is Chase. And he splits the defenders for the touchdown. It's 3rd and 7. To the end zone. Open. Wide open. Hurst hauls it in for another Cincinnati touchdown.
And you're seeing why offensive coordinator Brian Callahan
and Zach Taylor have the third best red zone offense, or top five, I should say, red zone, and that's, they create all of these things. Chase is a decoy on a screen, and Hurst is wide open.
All right, a lot in there back here on the Rich Keefe Show. I wanted to include all that, Fitzy, because there's a couple of different discussions to have off of that point. That's, of course, Joe Burrow and the Bengals offense lighting up the Buffalo Bills as they beat Buffalo 27-10, and they go back to the conference championship game for the second straight year. Mm. Also, Tony Romo in there, who I defend Tony Romo. I actually like Tony Romo. The heat's been boiling the last couple of years. And then I feel like this weekend, everybody was like, this guy sucks. We're done with him. If they weren't already there before, I find myself on an island being like, I don't mind Tony Romo games. Like, I think there's something, I don't know what it is about him, like personable. Like, he seems like a decent enough guy. Mm-hmm. He's not giving you, you know, he's not breaking the game down like maybe some people want, I suppose. But I don't know. I don't find him annoying. Where do you stand on Romo?
I feel like Romo, to a lot of people, is that reality show that the first season it premiered, maybe like Survivor or something like that, everyone was like, whoa, my God, this is incredible. I got to tell all my friends about this. It's amazing. And as the seasons have progressed, it's been like, yeah, I don't know if I like it as much. And I'm just watching it out of habit so I can talk about it with my friends. And now the show sucks. I wish it would go off the air. People like him.
Okay,
you and I are
the few people out there that still like the guy.
It's good energy. He knows the game. I like the goofy dynamics. Jim, that he's got going back and forth with Nance.
Yeah.
You know, at times, Rich, I may have said this to you before, but at times with him trying to call out the plays and here's where it's going to go and this is what the quarterback is thinking, it was like a football version of predictive text I couldn't turn off.
Mm-hmm.
But I would still rather have that as opposed to just like, you know, mildly concussed former player who's just like, well, here's a chance for them to score. Or they could not.
Or like Tony Dungy, like the other night when Tony Dungy he and Al Michaels were like two dead guys in the booth. All those years making fun of Phil Sims and Dan Fouts. Now, again, that's like a low bar. And so maybe people prefer others to Tony Romo. One thing that does annoy me a little bit about Romo is there'll be like a close play. Mm-hmm. And Romo will be like, I don't know, that can go either way. And then Nance is like, I think that's a touchdown, Tony. Like, it should be the other way around. Like, the play-by-play guy shouldn't be the one that has a hard, fast opinion on everything. It should be the analyst. But whatever, that was just one side story. As we get into sort of winners and losers, and maybe you can make a case Romo is one of the losers from the weekend because people are really piling on.
Is anyone who makes $17 million a year a loser?
No. No, I'm sure he's doing just fine. Yeah. I'm sure he's doing to call all game a week. No.
He does
one game.
Three days a week watching and talking football. No. Sign me up to be that loser any day.
He's doing just fine. So you obviously have the four quarterbacks that advance in Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, and Brock Purdy. Although I don't know if you caught Trevor Lawrence after the game. He was in the tunnel and made sure to shake hands with every single guy on the team.
Loved it.
Yeah, that's pretty good stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's leadership. I immediately just like threw that up on like Instagram stories with just a little tag like, show this to your kids. This is how you do leadership. You take a loss on the chin. You tell everyone, we'll be back. This is our first taste. You know, now we know what it's like to be here. We want to get back.
Yeah.
Shook everyone's hand, made sure all of them kept their chins up. Like, that's how you do it.
Yeah, yeah.
How you do it. And also, by the way, it wasn't Trevor Lawrence who fumbled at the 4-yard line.
No.
But he still picked up Jamal Agnew after that happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he seems like a guy that if anybody is going to be able to break through this troika of the AFC quarterbacks right now that are feeling like they're going to be there every single year, maybe it could be Trevor Lawrence. On the other side,
I think it'll be him before it's going to be Herbert, unless Herbert gets a better head coach.
Feels like it. It feels like it should have. 2 years ago, we would have been like, oh, yeah, Herbert would be in this situation by now. But that feels like it's getting worse. And if they're going to bring Staley back for another year, like, how much longer is that process going to take? We can ping pong back and forth. Steph Diggs, obviously a tough look for Steph Diggs. The Bills' offense wasn't good. And then he's just berating Josh Allen on the sideline. And then apparently he bails on the team in the locker room, grabs his stuff and leaves. Duke Johnson, who's on the practice squad, had to grab him. Could have been Duke Dawson, but it was Duke Johnson. And he brings him back in. And then apparently today Sean McDermott was asked about it. And he's like, I talked to Stephon. I'll just leave it at that. So that guy's is a mess.
But we all knew that he was a hothead in the first place. They were just winning and they were making progress. And so that's why he was able to sort of keep his emotions under check. I saw something earlier, Rich, where Isaiah McKenzie, the slot receiver that 8 Mile, Patriots fans would know him as the one who ate Miles Bryant's lunch a little over a year ago in Foxborough.
I remember.
He said that he talked to Steph Diggs after the game briefly, and it was like, the same blank. Why is it the same blank every year? How does this always happen to us? Because they just keep losing it. Like, they're becoming the Cowboys of the AFC.
Yeah.
They have a good quarterback, loads of offensive talent, and they come up short in the divisional round clutch. Like, it does keep, like, they're starting to now realize a self-fulfilling prophecy, whether it's not showing up for a game in the snow when the entirety of the football watching nation is cheering for you because of the emotional spirit of DeMar Hamlin and his story, 13 seconds last year. Like they should have won the Super Bowl last year. And you got to wonder now, like, is their window going to close a little bit because of everything?
You see, I push back on that just because Josh Allen's still one of the three guys I would start a franchise with. Like, he's one of the best guys in football.
Oh,
so
for sure.
I'm not ready to move on or bail on the Bills, but there is something to be said about not only have they plateaued, but they've kind of gotten worse. So Josh Allen's rookie year shows a lot of, you know, rookie mistakes, and like, you question whether he's legit or not. His second year, he improves, still not great. They make the wild card round. Then his third year, you're like, oh crap, this guy is really good. And they make it to the conference championship. He's still really, really good. Everybody keeps waiting for him to win an MVP, and they've now lost in the divisional round each of the last 2 years, and they were always chasing the Chiefs, and now the Bengals have passed them by. So being the third best team in a good conference isn't nothing, but when you're going up against two guys that also have just as long of a window to win, like, that's tough. Like, I don't know if you – do you need the Burrow injury again? Do you need a Mahomes injury? Who, by the way, he did. He hurt his ankle.
That actually happened.
And we'll see what happens, but – that's one where I know there was a lot of like, oh, the Bills are in trouble. It's like, I don't know if they're in trouble. Like, what does that mean? Like, they're going to not win the division next year, or they're not going to make the playoffs? Like, I think they're going to be in the mix, but if everything's equal, like, I think you're going to pick Kansas City and Cincinnati over Buffalo unless something drastically changes, right?
I mean, why would I pick against Cincinnati, period, going forward? Because Burrow is the ice king. They've got a perfectly rounded team. Their coach is way better than I would have given him credit for all the way back during the Spygate 2 days of 2019. They're the best overall team. It's a better defense than Kansas City's. Burrow is unflappable in the face of pressure or a top-tier QB showdown, because as they head into Sunday night's AFC Championship, he's 3-0 against Mahomes.
He's never lost to Mahomes. It is
3-0 against Patrick Mahomes, and now Mahomes is hurt, and Burrow is riding that wave of confidence, having just throttled Josh Allen at home. And look, I know the Bills have some cap issues coming up this offseason. You know, they can kick those cans down the road. They'll figure things out. Maybe they do need to beef up the run game. Maybe, you know, losing Von Miller sucked for them because they had a bunch of other guys. It was like, for the Patriots equivalent, for anyone listening, like, when you lose Judon, you can be like, yeah, we still got Dietrich and Uche, but yeah, they're all better because Judon is in there. Like, Von Miller made Gregory Rousseau and Boogie Basham and all these other guys much better. My big thing for them is, what happened to the team on the opening night game Thursday in Los Angeles? The Rams hosted the Bills, and the Bills kicked the holy crap out of that team on both sides of the ball. And that was where the 2022 version of the Bills peaked in game one.
Well, it's funny. Yeah, they were great, but then maybe in hindsight, you're like, oh, that was the beginning of the Rams just having a trash season. You know, I wonder if part of that ended up being the Rams, because you're right, that was a circle of the game, like, right out of the chute. This could be a potential Super Bowl matchup. But plenty of people picked the Rams to go back. Plenty of people picked the Bills to break through this year, and it just didn't happen. And then even though, again, they won – they beat New England at the end of the year. They beat Miami. Something was off about them. They didn't look right, and then clearly Cincinnati was able to take full advantage. Do you think the Steph Diggs thing is just a guy burning hot, and it's gonna be fine? Like, there's a long off season, and Allen and Diggs will be throwing touchdowns and laughing at it and like loving each other. Or do you think there's more to it?
I think there's got to be a little bit more to it. I think he believes that there's not that certain organizational element, whether it's a killer instinct from Coach Sean McDermott or Josh Allen playing in the cold, maybe the idea that they lean on him too much and they haven't spread out the offense. He was complaining that he was open a bunch and they weren't looking his way. I don't think Josh Allen was trying to freeze him out. I was thinking earlier today, Rich, because I listened to our station a little bit. Then I flipped over to New York radio because I wanted to hear what they were saying on WFAN about like the Giants and the Eagles. And because Saquon Barkley is an unrestricted free agent,
yeah,
they were talking about, wouldn't it make the most sense for the Bills to just find a way to clear a bunch of other room and make a run at somebody like him and just go all in on the idea that they would just have to be an offensive juggernaut because they don't have Singletary and Cook. I mean, no one's going
to
fear that.
That's not it. If Josh Allen has to be your leading rusher, like I don't think that's the right formula. Like you want to sprinkle it in, obviously, but that's why I thought they should have traded for Christian McCaffrey. They definitely should sign Saquon Barkley. You know, Tony Pollard, I know he's hurt, but he's going to be a free agent. There's a bunch of running backs that are free agents.
They were talking about that maybe being Zeke's last game in Dallas because they can't afford him and they should put their chips behind Tony Pollard.
Possible. So I think the Bills should definitely get involved there. I just feel like if you're Steph Diggs, I get guys getting mad and being upset, and especially receivers. Like, what good receiver hasn't yelled at their quarterback? But if you hold this against Josh Allen, like, there's nobody else in the league besides maybe Mahomes and Burrow who can set you up better than Josh Allen. Like, Steph Diggs, go back and look at it. He was good to very good in Minnesota. He's been great in Buffalo. Like, as much as Josh Allen got a lot better, Steph Diggs wasn't first-team All-Pro in Minnesota. Like, Josh Allen also helped. They made each other. Like, those two guys made each other really good.
They flourished mutually, correct. That's exactly the right way to put it.
Let's go to the horn here, 617-779-7937. We got Buddy in the car on the Buffalo Bills. We got Buddy.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
So a couple things to unpack real quick. For one, Diggs might be the only diva left in the NFL, and the NFL needs diva wide receivers. Yeah, the antics are a little questionable, but you know what? For the past 50 years, we've dealt with diva receivers. It is what it is. I think one of the things that is so consequential for that loss is this: the win for the fan base that has lived on the Brady window for 20 years. I mean, this is a legitimate thing where if they won that game and then went into Kansas City and either broke it to the limit like they did last year or broke through and went to the Super Bowl, I would be a pretty pessimistic Patriots fan for this division. I think this loss may have some psychological effects long-term, along with Hamlin, along with the age of that core. If Josh Allen was on Miami, I mean, that's completely different. Tua is still up in the air. So that opens something up for me. But one other thing I just wanted to point out, too, is it was brought to my attention today that Jimmy G may be coming back for the Super Bowl, God willing, if they make it. And, boy, would that be a story if he came in the second quarter and pulled it out.
Yeah, buddy, thanks for the call. A lot of good stuff in there. Let's go in reverse order. Jimmy Garoppolo, do you go back to him if he's healthy? Kyle Shanahan said maybe conference championship, more likely Super Bowl. I know Brock Purdy wasn't great in the game against Dallas, but Brock Purdy hasn't lost.
Right.
I would keep Brock Purdy in there, but would you go to Garoppolo?
Jimmy has never won on the biggest stage. I know like they win last year on a Saturday night in the cold of Lambeau, but that's because of their defense. That wasn't because of anything Garoppolo did.
He won that one playoff game where I think he threw four passes or whatever it was, insane.
They had to throw completed four. I mean, Purdy, look, he wasn't great yesterday.
No, he wasn't.
He definitely, there was that one to Trayvon Diggs. Boy, Diggs, what a Sunday for the Diggs family. Dinner at the Diggs house tonight is not someplace I
was
going to
say,
be.
Kelsey family greater than Diggs family for the weekend.
Although Kelsey's. Only one of the Kelseys might be playing next weekend.
Why? Jason Kelce got hurt?
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
We'll see.
He'll grind it out. That guy seems like a gamer.
He might just gnaw his leg off and just have them put a stump on for all we know. Just a prosthetic. Uh-huh. He's an offensive lineman. He's a Philly guy. You know, he's tough. Mm-hmm. But like, Purdy definitely yesterday, I won't say exposed the shortcomings of his game, but sort of showed his hand that there's a 50-50 ball or two coming somebody's way. And I think the Eagles have the best of the three defenses he'll have played prior to the Super Bowl. Like, I'd already bet right now, if you gave me odds on, you know, over under Brock Purdy, you know, half an interception, I would take the over for next Sunday. But wouldn't Jimmy do the same thing?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. If they let him throw it, I would suggest that, yeah, he might throw a pick as well. He also mentioned, does the Buffalo Bills losing to the Chiefs make you really think the Patriots are going to win the division next year? No.
It does not.
It does not for me. They might have issues, But as long as they still have Josh Allen, like they also have answers to sort of, again, against the Dolphins, against the Jets, against the Patriots, against the Ravens, against the Titans, like all, like name all the AFC teams that aren't Kansas City or Cincinnati. I think Buffalo will be fine.
But let's say you do get a competent offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. Let's say you do shore up the coaching staff and get a proper offensive line coach. Let's say you have another solid draft and you get a wide receiver one. And all of the issues that plagued them this year, the self-inflicted wounds, the bad coaching, and the mental mistakes, are largely shored up. Now, all of a sudden, you're talking about a Patriots team that can and should be at 10, 11 wins.
Yeah.
And maybe wins that Buffalo game as opposed to throwing a couple of picks, giving up two kickoff return touchdowns.
Right.
You know, I mean, they can...
There is that, but it feels like...
Close the gap, Rich.
Yeah, okay. Is the goal to win the division or the whole thing? Like, it should be the whole thing. I guess I know there's baby steps along the way. Mm-hmm. But, like, again, if you beat Buffalo, what does that mean? Buffalo hasn't made the conference championship in the last 2 years. So Buffalo... on the one hand, is a team you're chasing in the division, but it's not the team you're chasing in the conference. Patrick Mahomes makes the conference championship game every single year.
Literally every year he has started, he has made the conference championship.
And you can make the case the two healthy Burrow years, Burrow's also been in. I know it's a shorter, small sample, but still, like, he's 2 for 2.
Okay, Mahomes, yes, because he goes out with the ACL in his rookie season.
He played like 10
way
games
earlier than expected.
Yeah.
Yes.
His rookie year, though, I mean, the team sucked, but just overall, for the when he finishes the season, they play in the conference championship, if you want to look at it that way.
Let me ask you this. Would you be willing to go out on a limb and say, you know, everyone's always looking, who's the next Kobe? Who's the next MJ? Who's the next Brady? Would you be willing to say that maybe, just maybe, we could be looking at something reminiscent of a Manning v. Brady in Mahomes versus Burrow?
100%. 100%. We are looking at something like that. I have some stats, some exclusive Rich Keefe Show stats to unpack on that.
Did you bring a pack of stats?
I got a pack of stats. I'm going to unveil that a little bit later on, maybe even at like the 8 o'clock hour. I'm going to blow everybody's mind with some Rich Keefe Show stats on that. So, I think that quarterback hierarchy and what the takeover could look like, what we already saw, like what we just wrapped up, and what could be on its way, or actually not on its way, what we're living in right now. We'll get to here coming up. But Jay's in Providence. He wants to talk about Sean McDermott. What's going on, Jay?
Yeah, how come nobody's calling his job, putting his job on the line? He deserves to be fired. Tampa fired Tony Dungy back in the day, and he did a lot more than McDermott.
Really?
If you're Sean Payton, yeah, Tampa was on the precipice of the Super Bowl. That's why they fired Dungy.
All right.
And if you're Sean Payton, what team is the closest to go to the Super Bowl? Would it be Dallas, Buffalo, or Denver? I think that would be appealing to Sean Payton. If you said Buffalo should go all in and get Barkley, why don't they go all in and get Sean Payton?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's something. I mean, to me, their offense is what let them down in this one. You know, Sean McDermott was the one defensive head coach still left in the playoffs this past weekend. I think part of it is, and listen, I don't love McDermott, but the Buffalo Bills lost like for 20 straight years. They lost. They just lost over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And this guy has made the playoffs in what, 5 of his 6 years there, including a conference championship.
That would be correct.
He's not, and it's not like they got upset by this hack of a team. They lost to the Cincinnati Bengals, who are nasty. They were in the Super Bowl last year. I don't think McDermott's going anywhere. Also, how good Sean Payton? Everybody's like, oh, they had Drew Brees. Drew Brees and Sean Payton went 500 a bunch of times. They missed the playoffs a bunch of times. I don't get why everybody loves Sean Payton. He's not
a cure-all. Why is his legacy grown during his inactivity, Rich?
No idea. He's got the one Super Bowl, right? And a bunch of like famous playoff losses or he's missed the playoffs a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it.
I will say that neither side of the ball was well acquitted or performed.
Fair.
Anywhere near the best of their ability yesterday. And people used to talk about McDermott getting tight or coaching tight against Belichick and the Patriots until basically Daboll unlocked Josh Allen and they added Steph Diggs to the mix. And that, with their great drafts, is what took them over the top.
That's fair.
But now they may have a new mental hurdle they have to clear. What is that one element that is going to now... So Buffalo had to beat the Patriots, win the division, and get to the playoffs. Okay, they've done that. But now they've hit this new stumbling. Like you said earlier, they've plateaued. What is going to get them over this next hump
but
that they're stuck in?
Now they have two teams in their way. Going back to Peyton Manning couldn't beat Brady. He could beat everybody else, couldn't beat Brady. Now Josh Allen can't beat Burrow or Mahomes. So that's going to be a conversation, certainly in Buffalo, for the rest of the offseason. Mm-hmm. Here, we could talk about it tonight if you'd like at 617-779-7937. But when we come back, it's time for the Bet du Jour.
Tell your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI. Now, more of the Rich Keefe Show on WEEI.
What is the soup du jour?
It's the soup of the day.
Mm, that sounds good. I'll have that.
Time now for the bet du jour. What is that? Great question. It's the bet of the day. And before we get to the bet or bets of the day, let's recap how we did last Friday. Ben and I were both on fire. Mm. Ben gave you a Boston Scott anytime touchdown. Pff, that
you
hit.
Did not.
Yeah,
Ben.
He did. He did. He had that one. Now, Boston Scott apparently scores touchdowns against the Giants every single time he plays the Giants.
That's a fact.
But it's still like good odds. What was it, like plus 300 or something, Ben?
It was like plus 350. It was very good odds for good how juice. Often he scores.
It was good
now,
juice.
Isn't Boston Scott, isn't that one of Greg Hill's friends?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, he comes on every Thursday. There was Christian McCaffrey anytime score. Ben had that one. I had Cincinnati plus 5.5. Also, I like Cincinnati money line. Mm-hmm. Both of those came through.
Yeah, we were all over Cincinnati. Oh, even Scheim came on the 4.5-hour supersized football pregamer that Hart and I did yesterday.
Holy smokes.
And Scheim said, no joke, he's like, I think the Bengals might boat race the Bills.
Well, there you go.
He nailed it.
Nailed it.
All over. Stationwide, we were all over.
Now, just to keep him humble, Scheim's also the same guy that said Cincinnati should trade the number one pick when they had Burrow. So just to keep Scheim humble, I don't forget that. He was like, I don't think Burrow's that great. Or no, he thought he was good, but he was like, you can get somebody else and whatever. I am sadly in even 500 on the year. I'm 7-7. Ben is 8-3, and Fitzy is 2-1 when picking on the bet du jour. So just a lot of hoops, it looks like, and some hockey mm-hmm. to pick from here tonight. But Fitzy, well, you go first here. What is your bet du jour?
All right. I decided to keep it local, yep. Which is the way they tell you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
My bet tonight du jour is in the Celtics and the Orlando Magic game, of course. Now, this is the same Orlando Magic that upset the Celtics in back-to-back affairs a couple of weeks ago, same weekend Ooh. As the Las Vegas Lateral.
They got their number.
On a Friday and a Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Celtics now go on a 9-game win streak, looking for 10. I think the Celtics can win tonight, even though they're out Marcus Smart. There's no Malcolm Brogdon. However,
Time Lord's also out.
He is officially out.
He
okay.
is out. Blake Griffin's going to get the start tonight.
There you go. Oh, man, listen to this squad. There's going to be zero defense played in this game tonight. Points. And while doing my research before yeah. the show, Rich, I uh-huh. found out that the Celtics, have, with their great defense, have allowed the second most points to opposing small forwards during the past month. So give me
Ooh.
Over 18.5 points, Paolo Banchero, who's
How?
Actually put up some nice points against the Seas this year.
How?
18.5 points, he might have that by the third quarter.
They call that Fitzy homework right there, a little Fitzy research.
There you go.
That's
you
nice.
You got the 8 o'clock stats. I had to do the 6 o'clock yeah, gambling research.
I appreciate that very much. Ben, where are you going here tonight in the Bet du Jour?
I'm also going Celtics Magic, but I'm doing a first half Ooh. Spread. I got the Celtics minus 4.5 on the first half. So we're going to find right. out early.
Yeah, we
if
will.
I won or lost. So.
All right. We'll hit the sounder either way, whether you get it like right that, or you man. Get it wrong. Now, none of the TVs in the studio work because, you know, the snow.
It's going to be a little challenging.
So we'll have to update us. So Fitzy,
oh, is there
the TVs
too much
in your
snow on the rabbit ears on the top of the building, Rich?
Yeah, apparently. Somebody wants to go out there and dust them off. We can watch the game at 7. Listen, I'm not trying to tell anybody what to do, but I would like to watch the game. All right, I'm going with a basketball bet as well. Give me Anthony Edwards.
Mm.
Who was great as the villain in Hustle, the Adam Sandler movie.
I was going to say, loved him in ER.
he was great in that, too. Really just launched him. That was the rocket ship for the rest of his career. No, but Anthony Edwards played Kermit Wiltz, who was like a stud, and he was like the he was Bo Cruz's nemesis. But anyway, Anthony Edwards just went for 44 against the Rockets the other night, and he had these highlight dunks, and he was just lighting the hit. He had like 8 threes. They play the Rockets again tonight. I don't think a whole lot's going to change. Mm-mm. So give me Anthony Edwards over 26.5 points. It's a little over his season average. Of course, they've been playing a while without Karl-Anthony Towns. He remains mm-hmm. out. And Rudy Gobert is questionable, but even if he plays, he's good for like 10 points, 10 putbacks. Right. So give me Anthony Edwards over 26.5 points. This is also normally the time of the program where we do a quick check of what's in the DVR. Fitzy, did you get a chance to watch last night's The Last of Us yet?
Richard, I did not get a chance to because I partook of both games on Divisional Sunday. And then by the time I watched the post game, kids got to bed a little late. It was time for dad to call it a day. You know, what with the pizza fingers and the beverage brain. So
yeah, I
did
not.
I'm looking forward to it. It'll probably start tonight at 9:56 p.m. the second we get off this evening's program, Voltang.
It's a little shorter episode this week than last week's, like 52 minutes. So you'll be in good shape then with that one. Full breakdown on the Hashtag Dork podcast. As we did our recap episode last night, you mentioned the pre and post game shows. How about Fox having 17
people on the show?
It was insane.
It's like a Mr. Show sketch.
It really was. It's like you have a half hour to tell us about the Giants and Eagles, and you're like, let's bring in this guy. Who could forget Hall of Famer Rob Gronkowski? There's another guy. This guy's on the payroll too. He's got some. Well, who's picking the game? And the graphic is like 30 guys. It's too much.
By the time it's Kurt Menefee lists off name of everyone on the show, it's time to go to commercial.
Who do you like tonight? All right, that's all the time we have.
Please tell me you saw, and what a triumphant return to television it was for Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, missed
that
guy.
Did you hear him Saturday night?
No, I did not watch it.
On the pregame?
No, I only watched
the games. The audio may be somewhere in there. He called, he's like, the Philadelphia offense
tonight.
With Coach Nick Sirianni and offensive coordinator Shane Spikeman.
Oh, my God.
But he went 0-for-2 on the names.
Yeah, listen, if you want to be on that panel, you just need to be a player. You got these guys out there.
You need a gimmick, obviously, and Gronk is the Spike Man.
Sean Spikeman was the OC for the Eagles.
It's Steichen.
Yeah, you got to have a good time, though. You know, that's what Gronk does. So there you go, 1 hour down, 3 hours to go. We'll take a brief football rest next as we got to talk about what happened at Red Sox Winter Weekend. The festivities began on Friday. The front office was in front of a live audience. You can imagine how that went. So we'll go through Winter Weekend when we come back here on the Rich Keefe Show.